We thank God this morning that He has blessed us to witness another day that He has made. And it teaches us to rejoice and be glad in it, knowing that this day wasn't promised to us, but through His mercy and His grace, we're all alive today, and we thank God. You know, as Brother Tom, we're reading the names on the prayer list. I'm just thinking how important prayer is. I think about the scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 38, when God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah to tell Hezekiah to get his house in order because his sickness was unto death. And the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he prayed to God. And he cried out to God profusely. And the Bible says that God sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah. So tell Hezekiah that I heard his prayer. And I saw his tears. I will add unto his life another 15 years. Brothers, sisters, and friends, that's how important prayer is. Prayer changes things. And that's why we pray. We believe that prayer does change things. I was telling Brother Dennis this morning that Brother Joe Smith was dealing with pneumonia, a strand that the doctors weren't familiar with. And I called last week, and his wife informed me that he's getting well. And we thank God for answering our prayers, because prayer changes things. I have a lesson this morning coming from this old book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And my subject this morning is, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm going to use that for our scripture text this morning. And I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and this is the King James Version, starting at verse 1 through verse 8 for the scripture reading. And notice what the Bible teach. The Bible says that in Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, said, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the Bible says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. He said, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. In verse 8, the Bible says, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah said, "Then said I, here I am. Here am I. Send me." We'll let those passages of scripture this morning serve as our scripture reading this morning. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we always count it a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again to petition the throne of God for the one who has been appointed to lead us in prayer. These passages of scriptures that I read for the scripture reading, I'd like for us to, first of all, realize that the name Isaiah means the Lord saves. And this chapter deals with the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah was called into the ministry of God. But what I would like for us to do before we deal with these passages of scripture, I'd like for us to go back to the book of Chronicles. And we will look at a few passages of scripture there in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and get us caught up as to what had transpired prior to the reading of Isaiah chapter 6. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we'll go there and look at these passages of scriptures. I would like to start at verse 3 of Second Chronicles chapter 26, start at verse 3. The Bible says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. I just want to keep in mind this morning that this young man, King Uzziah, was a ruler at this very young age of 16 years old. And the Bible says that Uzziah was a good king at one time. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of God. Now notice in verse 5 say, and he saw God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And notice this, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And that's what I just want to keep in mind this morning as we look at these passages of scripture. The Bible says, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And this is a lesson for us as well. And that's what we're doing this morning, is looking back at the first century Christians. And we can apply these examples and this lesson to us today. As long as we seek the Lord, surely we will prosper. But I want us to notice something here while we're in this book, and I won't read all of these passages of scripture for the sake of time, but some of them I just will paraphrase. But I want to look at verse 16 of 2 Chronicles. Verse 16, the Bible says, but when he was young, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, the Bible says that as long as Uzziah followed the Lord in all of his ways, God made him to prosper. But the Bible says also that King Uzziah was lifted up in pride. And he went into the temple to burn incense. Now, this wasn't his job to burn incense. This was the job of the priest. And he went into this temple to burn incense, and he had the censers in his hand. And the priest told him, "King Uzziah, this is not your job. This is the priest's job to burn incense." And the Bible says Uzziah became wroth. He got upset. And he got mad because they confronted him. They said, "You do the things that are kingly, and we will do the things that are priestly." And the Bible says while he had the incense in his hand, leprosy came up on his forehead. And the Bible says that the priest thrust him out of the temple and cast him from among the people because he was a leper. And he died, and he was a leper all the way to his death because he was lifted up in pride. You know what the Bible says about the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 18? The Bible says that pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. It's telling us this morning, we, as children of God, we need to be careful. Not get lifted up in pride, thinking that we're better than others, because we're headed for destruction when we have that type of attitude. And the Bible tells us that when King Uzziah died, it was about 740 B.C., when King Uzziah died, and this when Isaiah was called into the ministry of God, the year that King Uzziah died. And that's why we want to go back to these passages of Scripture and notice what Isaiah is teaching us this morning. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And he says, and his train filled the temple." And we know what a train is. A train is this garment that we see on robes and wedding garments. This Bible says the train that Isaiah saw, this vision of God, filled the whole temple. And notice what he says here. He said, "And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the Bible says that the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The Bible says as the angelic beings were singing, "Holy, holy, holy," their voices were so powerful that it moved the post of the temple. And the Bible says that in verse 5, Isaiah said, "Woe." Then said Isaiah, "Woe is me." He said, "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's what I love about these passages of scripture here. God gave Isaiah a vision. And this was a true vision that Isaiah had from the Lord. And we see that Isaiah had prophesied before. But in these passages of scripture here, God gave Isaiah a perfect understanding of him. And Isaiah made that statement, woe am I, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And don't you know that applies to us as well? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to God, every last one of us in here is undone. Every last one of us. We can never say that we are just as holy as God is. We can never make that statement. We will always need God to help us and to clean us up. And that's what Isaiah was saying. He said, I am undone. He was called into God's ministry. And God gave him a specific commission and a purpose. God wanted Isaiah to go and to prophesy to his blessed people that he was going to destroy them because of their disobedience. With a nation of people that were more wicked than they were. There was a tough task, a difficult message for Isaiah to deliver to the people of God. And this is an example to all the gospel preachers today, is that we have to preach God's word. We have to deliver the message. Yes, we need to preach mercy. We need to preach grace, but we also need to preach the wrath of God as well. Undefiled. Not sugar-coated. Don't water it down. Preach it the way God is giving it to us. And this was Isaiah's task, is to preach unto God's blessed people that they were going to be destroyed. And so as we look at these passage of scripture in this book this morning, we see that King Uzziah was lifted up in pride. The Bible tells us also this morning that in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, notice what it says. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Do we know what it means when the Bible says vainglory? This is what the Bible means when it says vainglory. Everything that I do, I'm doing it just to get a pat on somebody else's back. Somebody wants somebody to encourage me and just pat me on my back. And the thing that I'm doing is not pleasing to God, but I am pleasing men. That's what the Bible says, seeking after vain glory. Tells us that don't do that, but learn to esteem others better than we esteem ourselves. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 3. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 13. I want us to go there. The reason I want to go there is to bring this scripture in. Mark 13 and verse 13. Because, see, King Uzziah started off good. But he was lifted up in pride. And our reward is not starting and stopping. Our reward is being faithful until the end. That's where we get the crown of life. Notice what Mark 13 and 13, and this is Jesus speaking. This is in red. He said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said, but he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. Mark 13 and verse 13. The one that endureth until the end. That's what Jesus said. And so we see that this lesson that Isaiah is teaching in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it reveals one of the Bible's main concerns, namely God's glory, His majesty, and His holiness demands that if we're going to serve God, we have to be holy. Those that serve the Lord must be holy because God is holy. And that's what He demands from us. And with this message this morning, you see, I couldn't preach to you if I didn't have a message. There's no way that I could preach to you. Because, you see, I have the same weaknesses as you. I make the same mistakes as you. Then how can I preach to you every Lord day after Lord day when I am undone? It's because God's power and His forgiveness helps me just like it helps you. That's what the Bible says, that when Isaiah says that seraphim flew with coal in his hand and touched his lips, his sins were purged. You see, the coal didn't clean Isaiah up. The word of God is what cleaned him. This was just a process that God took Isaiah through, is to help him to see how holy that God is. That process of the seraphims. The Bible says that Isaiah was a man of unclean lips, and he dwelt among a people of unclean lips. Do you know that I used to have unclean lips? I used to have a foul mouth. Yes, Brother James used to have a foul mouth. But it's God that helps me and clean my life up, just like it cleaned each and every one of our lives up. It is God that helps us, brothers and sisters. And the message this morning that I have is that, and this is through everyone that I meet and I speak with and talk to about the Bible, is Christ died for you. He loves you. And He cares for you. This is my message to the drunkards, to the winos, to the prostitutes, to those that are in power, to the beggar. This is my message, that Christ died for you, and He loves you, and He cares for you. I wonder how many times do people hear that. A lot of times we say, well, no, you know, like, you don't know people. You know, you just got to put an axe in their head because they just won't listen. Go ahead. Put the axe in their head, and you'll find out that you'll be living around dysfunction for the rest of your life. We have to learn to encourage each other, lift each other up, and to help each other. You know, a lot of times we get hung up on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. This is important. These are the first principles, and they are important. But we, as children of God, we need to learn to move beyond those first principles and learn to help each other, lift each other up, encourage each other, have love one for another. We need to grow beyond those first principles. And we get so hung up on the first principle sometimes, we don't grow beyond that. And that's what we need to do, is grow beyond those first principles. You know, when Jesus was sitting with His disciples at the table, no one thought to wash one another's feet. They were sitting at this table with their feet dusty, and the custom in that day and time is that you would wash your feet. You know what the disciples were talking about? Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus stooped down and began to wash their feet. He was teaching them that if you want to be great, you got to learn how to serve one another. And learn how to help one another, brothers and sisters. That's the example of washing each other's feet. We ought to be able to do that, wash each other's feet, help each other, lift each other up, and encourage each other. I know that some of you have been around me long enough where you probably heard some of my good sermons. You probably heard some of my worst. But one thing I can always look forward to is after worship service, someone will come up and say, "Brother James, that was a good lesson." The encouragement is what I'm talking about. I can always look forward to the encouragement. And sometimes I know that I've fallen on my face. Not the fact that I haven't prepared myself, but sometimes you get up here, even when you do your best, sometimes it's your worst. But that encouragement is important. We need to learn how to do that. You know, I tell you a story of a brother that was in a Bible study. And this brother was a learned brother. And this other brother was a slow learner. And he was telling this brother, "Read it. Read it. Don't you understand it? Read it." Belittling this brother. And about 6 months later, that same brother that was telling that brother to read it had a stroke. And it affected his part of his brains or his thinking. It controls his thinking. And when the brother went out to the VA hospital to visit him, they were teaching him things that you teach a first grader. We have to be careful. You see? And I know that you heard this. You go to school, get a good education, because what you got, nobody can take from you. And I tell you this morning, anything that God gave you, He can take from you. Remember that this morning. Anything that God gave you, He can take from you. Someone said, "Well, I have a good mind." Who gave you that good mind? Because the same God that gave you the good mind is over those that we say are mentally challenged. The same God. You see, this is the self-evaluation that Isaiah was looking at when he said, "Woe am I, for I am undone." When he was looking at the holiness of God, this self-evaluation. And we have to keep looking at ourselves. And as we look at ourselves and we realize that we have been blessed, yes, be thankful, but also be careful. King Uzziah had to learn the hard way. You see, a lot of times when people are lifted up in this life, they think that they are above the law. They can live above the law because they have been lifted up in power. King Uzziah had to learn the hard way. He had to answer to God. That's who he had to answer to. Although he felt that he could do what he wanted to do in that temple because he was a king. But he had to answer to God. When we look at ourselves and find out that we have been blessed, we are where we are because of the blessedness of God. You might say, "Well, I pulled my own self up by my own bootstraps." Nobody is that strong. We are where we are because we have been blessed by God and the people that God surrounds us with to help us. when we look at ourselves and do that self-evaluation. Isn't God good? We serve a God that will give you a second chance. You remember the story of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? And the men had dragged this lady out in the public to embarrass her and to humiliate her. Then here come along Jesus. So you want a second chance? I give you one. Go and sin no more. Got to learn how to forgive each other. And not the kind of forgiveness that we say, well, I forgive you, but the axe handle is still out of the ground. And what I mean by that is that I'll forgive you this time, but if you do that again, I don't know whether I can forgive you or not. That's not the kind of forgiveness that we and brothers and sisters Christ should have. You know, Peter asked that question. He said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. We have to give each other, learn how to forgive each other and love each other. When we evaluate ourselves, brothers and sisters, we're there. And this was the encouragement that Isaiah needed. A little bit of encouragement. His sins were washed away. And God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And with a little bit of encouragement, Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Just with a little bit of encouragement. I remember a story I heard that this person was getting ready to go to college, and his mother was preparing him to go, and she was ironing his clothes on a wooden stove. She was heating that iron up on a wooden stove, and his grandmother was sitting there, and his grandmother said, I don't see why you're sweating over that boy. He's never going to amount to anything. And he remembered that. He said, my grandmother said that about me. But he went on to become a gospel preacher and taught at a university. But no encouragement from his grandmother. And that's what we have to learn to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Learn to encourage each other, lift each other up. And brothers and sisters, when we do that, we're doing what God expects for us to do. I just want to close this morning in these passages of Scripture from the book of Isaiah. The story of the rich man, I close with this, is we remember in Luke 16, when you had this you had this man that was a king. The Bible says that he wore fine clothes and he ate sumptuously every day. And they laid this beggar at his gate, Lazarus. And the rich man refused to even give Lazarus crumbs that fell from his table. You see, the rich man, it doesn't say that he gained his wealth through cheating someone. It doesn't say anything about that. Only thing it teaches that this rich man had the wrong mind toward Lazarus, because Lazarus was a beggar. He didn't have time for him. But in the eyes of God, Lazarus was precious. Because the Bible says that when the rich man died, he lifted his eyes up in hell. And when Lazarus died, the Bible says the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. You see, when we live our lives to please God, Wouldn't have to worry about that. Am I going to have enough pallbearers when I die? And I hope don't nobody drop me because I want enough. Don't have to worry about that. The angels would carry you in the bosom of Abraham in paradise if we live according to the will of God. Let's think about this. Who is Lazarus in our day and time? Who would be Lazarus? And who would be that rich man in our day and time? And when we think about that, just ask ourselves a question. What would we do? The lesson is yours. Woe am I, for I am undone. We come to God this morning by first the hearing of his word. The Bible teaches us in the book of Mark chapter 12. And we see in verse 28 that a scribe came and he heard them reasoning. He heard Jesus reasoning with the people. And he perceived that Jesus had answered them well. And he asked the question, what is the first of all the commandments? And the Bible said Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, that our Lord God is just one. There's no multiplicity of gods. God is just one. He said, we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our strength, and with all of our mind. That is the first of all the commandments. And after hearing that, the Bible says we ought to believe it. We ought to believe that. This is God's plan of salvation, is to hear, believe. The book of St. John chapter 20, the Bible tells us in verse 29 and 30, said, truly did many signs Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not mentioned in this book. They are not written. He said, but these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. We have to hear God's word and we have to believe it. And after we believe it, we must repent. It doesn't matter how long that we have lived, and we have never heard this plan of salvation. But while the blood is still running warm in our bodies, we got a chance to obey God. In Luke 13 and 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And Luke repeated it again in verse 5. He said, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And what Luke means by that is that we have to change from what we have been taught. If we can't read it in this Bible, we have to be willing to change. Repentance is a change of heart, making that turn. I used to say 360-degree turn, but if you do that, you're right back where you started. It's a 180-degree turn that we have to make. Don't go all the way back around. You're going too far. Make that 180-degree turn and accept God's word for what it is. We have to repent. And after repentance comes the confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the good confession, is to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And after this confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, we're not saved until we are baptized. Let us remember that. It's when we teach people. You're not saved until you're baptized. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, which was sometime disobedient in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, therein few aged souls were saved, what? By water. That's what those aged souls were saved by, water. God used that water in two folds. He used it to save those aged souls, and the rest of the disobedient he used to destroy. The Bible says, even so, baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of our flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is how we get our conscience clean. It's in the watery grave of baptism. Until you get baptized, you can't have your conscience clean. This is how you're purified. It's by baptism, because in baptism is where we meet the blood of Christ and he washes away our sins in baptism. I was talking to a deacon one night. It's a deacon in a denomination. And I was talking to him about the plan of salvation, and he told me that he walked out his door one night and God saved him. I said, how's that? What happened? He said, God spoke to him and saved him. I said, what did he say? Well, he couldn't tell me what he said. And you know what? If God had spoken to him, I don't think he could stand it. You know, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and God spoke to Moses, Moses was hiding himself in the cleft of the mountains at the voice of God. And the people that were down from the mountain, they heard the noise and the lightning and the thundering. The Bible says they trembled. And so we want Moses to talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. We want Moses to talk to him. People couldn't stand it if God spoke to them. So we have to really, you know, like, wade through some of that nonsense that the people are saying and try to get the truth over to them. Because we can't make people obey the gospel. We just can't do that. Before Moses became the great leader that he was, you know what God did with Moses? He took him to the backside of Mount Sinai, and he taught him to tend to sheep. To tend to sheep. Because you see, you can drive cattle, but you can't drive sheep. You got to lead them. That's what Jesus told Peter, isn't it? And we all are like sheep. We have to be led. Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that's what we have to learn to do, is lead people into the gospel, because we sure can make them obey the gospel. But this is God's plan of salvation here this morning. If you've never seen that before, this is the only plan that's mentioned in the Bible. Mankind will try to get us saved some other way, but this is the only plan that we see in the Bible, is hear God's word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. And after that, we come up out of the water, we are called Christians, followers of Christ, and we start our walk in the newness of life. And it's all the way until the end. Even to the face of death, we are to walk this walk. I was in Memphis preaching one Lord's Day, and I finished preaching, the brother walked up to me and said, so Brother James, do you know who this person is sitting there? And this person is about 80-some years old. I said, no, who is that? He said, that's Sister Anthony's husband. And I remember when I first obeyed the gospel, that this man had put a shotgun to her head and told her that if she walked out of that door going to church that morning, he was going to blow her head off. And Sister Anthony walked out her house and came to church. And here this person is, her husband, in his 80s, obeyed the gospel of Christ. So it's never too late when we hear God's word and we believe it. make that confession. While we stand this morning and sing the chosen selection, if we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.